Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome to the Antler Up Podcast, brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting gear, and we got a great show for you all today. You're listening to the Antler Up Podcast, where we dive into archery, hunting, and the mindset needed to elevate your game. Join us as we explore the latest strategies and gear to help you become the best hunter you can be, both in and out of the woods. Tethered is a team of saddle hunting fanatics with a passionate addiction to whitetail hunting. Designing and engineering products to be a more efficient and confident hunter, Tethered produces the most mobile, stealthy, and safest elevated hunting gear on the planet. Built by saddle hunters for the saddle hunter. head over to tethernation.com to see for yourself what exactly I'm talking about.
When you hit the woods, there's no room for second-rate gear. That's why I trust Huntworth. They build high-performance hunting gear that keeps you concealed, comfortable, and locked in without the ridiculous price tag. Whether it's lightweight gear for those sweaty September sits, rock-solid mid-season layers, or insulated late-season killers, Huntworth has the lineup to keep you grinding all year long. And every season, they're dropping new gear that's built for serious hunters who demand more out of what they wear. So if you're tired of paying for a logo instead of performance, it's time to upgrade. Head over to huntworthgear.com, check out the full lineup, and hunt prepared, hunt hard, hunt with Huntworth.
Andy, man, it's a pleasure to have you on. And finally, we have a chance. We've been messaging back and forth through Instagram and keeping tabs on each other, supporting each other in that virtual world. And I got a lot of respect. And dude, I got to thank you right off the rip to help come on and do this brand new revamp of the Antler Up podcast. So, man, I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Hey, it's an honor, obviously, to be here. And I'm super excited and super excited for you, man, to be kind of taking this thing in a whole new direction. So, yeah, I'm ready to do this.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting. It's hopefully people will enjoy it. I think so. I mean, if anything, I know I'll enjoy it and get a chance to talk to some amazing people. But man, hey, let's get right into this. So
yeah,
everybody, welcome back to the Antler Up podcast. And thank you for kicking off and being here with this new version of it. This year, this show is about more than hunting. It's about the mindset. It's going to be about the grit these individuals share, the discipline these individuals will share, becoming better in every area of the life of your life. And whether it's in the woods, at home, in the gym, in your career, and obviously, hopefully, more mentally, you're going to improve. In January, this month is going to be about setting the tone for the rest of the year. And it's about growth, resilience, and building the best version of yourself you know you're capable of. So, and I couldn't think of a better person to kick this off and to revamp this whole podcast with none other than tonight's guest, Andy Musser. So Andy, you're a husband, you're a father, entrepreneur, a coach, a cancer survivor, a personal trainer, and the founder of Warbuilt, an online training coaching platform built around strength, discipline, and mental toughness, man. And we will get into that. But, you know, Andy's, your story hits on everything that this new direction I want to go in. So, man, I just laid out a lot of hats on paper. Husband, father, founder, entrepreneur of Warbuilt, coach, you know, everything. That resume is huge. Because that sounds so strong, dude, it doesn't show everything behind it. So when you strip away all that, what do you believe actually shaped you to be the man you are today?
Whew, boy, man, coming out all right out the bat, huh? With the deep questions. Mm-hmm. I like it. Oh, boy, where to start? Well, I guess just to start with my age, I'm 45. And as you explained, I'm a father and I'm happily married. And I do carry all these hats. But beyond that, what's kind of really shaped me and, you know, the biggest thing that is, man, that has really, you know, put that spark and catalyst in me was actually the lowest point in my life. And that was my cancer diagnosis. When you're faced with, you know, literally your own mortality at 34 years old, that's gonna hit, right? It's gonna slap you upside your head pretty hard. And you got a choice at that point. You know, you want to be here, you want to live the rest of your life, or you're going to give up, right? And I know that might sound a little crazy, like you have a choice in this, but to me, that was the choice I had to make, and there was really only one direction for me to go at that point.
Yeah. So things were probably very tough at that point. Like you said, you were at the lowest of low. What did you learn about yourself when things got hard? Because that's a lesson that a lot of people, for certain individuals really thrive in. And it it's not that we want to be in that situation all the time where our backs are up against the wall, but man, sometimes some people really do thrive in that. And there were moments in my life that I could think of that happened to me. So for you, Andy, what did you learn about yourself when things got hard?
Oh boy. I think up until that point, I had been living a life that quite honestly was not rooted in reality whatsoever. And I don't know, you know, maybe if some of your listeners can relate to that at some point. I mean, I was 34. I'll say this, that my 20s were a battle and in their own self, and it probably led me to be in that position in the first place. But you know what, you know, really, I guess we got to start this question over again. I could
think about it. Right, yeah. Yeah. Like what did you learn about yourself when things like,
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. What did I learn about myself? You know, I learned that I had to face the harsh reality of life very, very quickly.
Got it.
And there's so much context behind that as well. And I know it seems like the simplest thing to say, but, to kind of give it a little bit of context also, like my 20s were such a turbulent time for me. I was up and down. I was in a failed career. I was struggling. I was doing a lot of things that I shouldn't have been doing. Let's just say, you know, and to be quite honest, our 20s, I don't know if you can relate, there can be a very confusing time for some of us, right? We're kind of thrust into this adult world, right? Expecting to know everything. I mean, we think we know everything at that time, but we really don't know jack. Mm-hmm. What came of that really was just an oh shit, a major oh shit moment, and a wow, this is my reality now. It's literally life or death.
Yeah. And that's a tough thing to do. Like, especially when you're saying, like, I could think to my 20s, and when people, for my experience, you know, I grew up in a divided household where my parents were both divorced, and at early on in my young life at that point, they didn't really like each other. They get along great now, and it's wonderful because my girls could, you know, be around them, be around my stepmom, all that type of stuff, which is great. But early on, I've said it early on in the podcast, man, I was a young, angry kid. I was angry for a long, long time. And for no reason, like, I can't even give you a reason why. I can't sit there and say it's because this happened or because they were not together or whatever. I was just an angry, young, confused, young kid. And it traveled up until my 20s. Now, I've been with my wife, it'll be coming up to 17 years, and we started going together when I was 21. So, like, we were still together even during that time frame. And like you said, I'm still trying to figure it out. And hard times, and like I said, backing up against the wall and making, like you said, certain decisions of a career change. I went to school for a degree and had to change course and got the teaching degree. Student loans are being paid. We need to buy a house. Oh man, guess what? We're expecting our first kid. Like, you know, tough times. And but it could really, like you said though, teach you to like have that oh shit moment where I always used to say the term kill or be killed. And obviously we're not actually killing people, but it's that mentality. And I took that in a lot of different ways, in things that I did. And no hard feelings to certain people if I was going up against someone for a job or something along those lines, but I looked at it as life or death, because it not necessarily was that extreme, but in my mind, I knew if I let off the brakes, that wasn't going to be good for me and my family. And that's the way I took it. And that's why, like, going in for, you know, a lot of people talk about mindset and discipline, but very few, I think, are forced to rely on that. And man, I'm so grateful for those tough moments, those dark moments, because that helped mold that. In the heat of it, you don't understand why you want to get out of it. But when was the first time, Andy, that you realized mindset wasn't optional, that it was survival for you?
Oh.
Like, was it when you got your diagnosis? Was it when, you know, the family, you know, that type of stuff where you really had to, like how you said, you had to flip that switch? And
well, I'll tell you, and it might be right before. So much happened in that year. It was 2014, and I had just partnered up with my father in our landscaping business, our family's landscaping business. That happened in February. In the summer, my wife, Erica, and I, then she was my girlfriend, we bought a house together. And during that same year, she had introduced me to her stepdaughter, Madison, my daughter, Maddie. She's 23 now. At the time she was like 11, like wild, right? That I would say was probably like that first like a wow moment, because up until then I had not truly understood what the meaning of life was, right? I wasn't sure if I would ever have children myself at that point. And now I was entrusted with the life and protection of this beautiful little girl.
Yeah.
You know, she was so bright, creative, like all these things. And it was just like, it happened like that, right? It wasn't like the birth and then like you watch him grow. This was like, boom, instant dad, right? Instant family, right?
And tough, and what a tough age. 11 is a tough age.
Well, I'll tell you what, she was a doll. She was a doll, really. I mean, she was not hard to love. Let's just put it that way. And sure, we butt heads, right? But she taught me a lot. Humility, you know, love. And really just that responsibility that I think I needed the most in my life at that point.
Yeah. Amazing how that works, man.
Right, right. Yeah, and that right there was like, that was everything. And then, it wasn't shortly after that, when we found out we were having our own child. Right. And then, so that was not exactly planned, but a blessing in its own. We had just bought a house. We had just essentially started to create a family of our own. And, 2 weeks after, literally 2 weeks after we found out she was pregnant was when I was diagnosed with cancer.
Wow.
So 2014 was like it went from like highest of highs to lowest of lows, just like that. I mean, business was like on the rise. The family was on the rise, you know, and comparatively speaking to like what I experienced in my 20s, a roller coaster of just craziness. Like this was like the finally I felt like this was the good was happening right in my life. And I got hit with that, and yeah.
Dude, that's powerful, man. Cause I can't think like just hearing you say that and that is a tough conversation. But if any time your back is up against the wall, that's at. Like when we were just saying that, and like you're saying, now it's not just yourself that you want to, you got to live for. It's everybody that's going to be a part of your family now. Mm. And, man, so how did you battle through that? Cause I have a good friend of mine that's dealing with some, like her own little situation, and dude, you wouldn't even know. One of the toughest son of a guns I know, and it just blows my mind. And there's just little daily little things that I have to, you know, if something doesn't go my way or I'm not feeling up to great, I just think of that person and I just think, man, they are absolutely crushing life in a tough situation right now. There's no reason why I need to make an excuse, right? And I know you shouldn't compare yourself to others, but those are times when I think you get a hall pass. Those are times when like life's good, right? So like, let's make it quote unquote hard to, that way you could get better, right? Like if you want to wake up at 5 a.m. and I'm talking easy stuff, right? I'm not talking that like something hurts or whatever. Like I'm talking that easy stuff, but man, this person, I see them crush it and man, I know what they're going through. It's a lot. And I'm just blown away. So for you to tell that story of here you are, you finally thinking you're figuring it out in your 20s, past your 20s now, you're starting your own family and then you get hit with that, man, a lot of people would break. And that's why, again, that's why your name is in, was on this piece of paper, and just knowing a little bit from what you've shared with your followers on Instagram in a sense. And I had to have this conversation because that's different. There's no one in this conversation that I've ever had on this platform, I think, that could sit there and say they've been through some hard stuff. That's it. And how long did you go through treatment? How long did you battle that for? Because you just made a recent post that I it was like perfect timing too. So how long did you battle your cancer? And please forgive me, I don't know correct terminology, all that type of stuff of how that
goes. So it took them a while to like completely tell me I was like, you know, free of all signs of, you know, disease and all that. Mm-hmm. I forget exactly the length of time after I was done with my like chemo treatments. But I pretty much knew in my head that when they cut it out, like that was it, like it wasn't coming back. And that was like that's just like the mentality that you have to have, right? You have to believe it. You have to visualize it. You have to live it and breathe life into that. And, because there's, you know, if you allow it to creep into your mind, you know, and don't get me wrong, it did daily, you know, and it still does. That's the crazy thing. 11 years later, it still does. But you can't let the devil win. You can't let the devil win. So you gotta stay in the fight every day to kind of, to battle that mentally. And, you know, for me, it was just having a crystal clear, getting really clear with the life I wanted to live beyond that. So, you know, I went through surgery September 1st in 2014. I was released about 5 days later. I had some complications then at home. I had two infections, one inside, one on the outside. It's a dirty surgery, right? I had colon cancer. So they go in, they cut you wide open and they take a foot out of your colon and then they zip you back up and send you on your way. I tell you, oh, you can go home and eat a steak or a pizza, right? You're thinking to yourself, but anyway, shortly after that, they did the staging of the cancer during the surgery. They had biopsied 27 lymph nodes out of my abdomen. One came back positive. So that put me at stage 3A, which anything 3A and above is recommended that you do chemo. So I ended up doing chemo after a lot of internal struggling with that myself and just doing a ton of research. You know, you got to know your enemy. Ended up doing 6 months of chemo. It was twice a month, every 2 weeks. My daughter was born in March, St. Patrick's Day of 2015. So I was on my like last two treatments, I think, when she was born. So I got to skip that treatment that week. And I never finished the 12th one because some of my blood markers were coming back. Like when my immune system was like super stressed out. So they're like, let's not bombard you with one more. Everything else, your vitals and everything else is looking good. Let's just wrap it up. And I was ready at that point to be done with it.
Right.
So, and I think it was almost 2 years later that they were actually finally able to tell me that I was cancer free. So that was kind of sucked. Right. Yeah. Like you want to be like told that right away, but there was little things here and there that they wanted to be, you know, extra cautious about. And, so you just had to be their guinea pig for a little more. Yeah. A little more time, right?
Yep. When did you change your lifestyle, do you think? Was it prior to that? Was it post that? Just because my friend that's going through stuff, prior to finding things out, they were in a machine to begin with. So I feel like, you know, just the fitness side of knowledge of everything that you know, you're probably like, okay, you're coming into this already in a heck of a lot probably better state than majority of people, right? So hopefully that could help in those manners. One would just think, when you were there, like when did that whole lifestyle change for you to really take control?
Yeah, I mean, I actually started making some positive changes years leading up to that. And it was almost like I subconsciously knew something was going on with me, right? And I knew I had to start making some changes. I was kind of at a really low point in my life, 2008, 2009, with a failed career. I used to be a graphic designer. I sat on the computer 12, 14 some hours a day. You know, among other things, then in the evening that led to, you know, more bad choices. But I was kind of getting sick and tired of being sick and tired at that point in my life as well. And I started making some changes. What had really probably triggered me the most to make changes was just, you know, I started seeing like some of these documentaries on Netflix at the time, what are some of those the early documentaries? I don't know. The one that just comes to my mind right now off the top of my head is like Super Size Me. Don't know if that's really even a great example, but there are so many coming out, like Joel Salatin, the original regenerative farmer guy, like his documentary, his books, just learning about our food system. I mean, and to be honest, getting back into hunting around that time also was kind of like an eye opener, you know, watching Meat Eater. And just listening to like a guy like Steve Ranella like articulate about like what hunting means to him, mm-hmm. you know, and then seeing how he cooked and prepared the food, and then it was kind of like things were starting to connect in my confused, you know, toxic mind at the time about like, whoa, like there's some really neat stuff like out there, and I should probably start making these changes in my life because you know, I need to. Yeah. You know, at my worst, I was like 228 pounds, and I'm not a tall dude, right? I'm like 5'8", 5'9", on a good day. And at 228, that's, you know, that's not a healthy weight. I had started to make some changes, but let's just say there wasn't something scary enough like cancer to really get me straight.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the key. And you know, man, that's experiences that a lot of people have never faced before. And you know, you take that, you crush those couple years, and you start doing things better, fitness, discipline, daily standards. And it's become now a part of your life, and it's not just something you promote now, right? Like you live it, you're helping others do that. You know, what role does, I guess, the fitness play beyond your physical state now? Like you could talk about it. This would be a great time, I guess, to talk about some of the hats you do wear in that fitness discipline daily standard before we even talk about war build. So like, you know, what role does fitness play for you, obviously personally, but then for others?
Yeah. So I would say just becoming fit, athletic, and all that was part of my kind of visionary building while I was going through cancer, right? My cousin's a personal trainer, Zach, and he was one of the first guys I reached out to literally when I'm in the hospital. Like, and I'm telling him, like, dude, I'm coming train with you when I get out of here, right? Like, this is where I'm going to be living in your gym, dude. Like,
yeah.
So get ready, right? And that first year, you know, the first 6, 7 months, 8 months of treatment, surgery, treatment, I was off work. You know, thankfully I was in the position to be able to take off work. My father was still working heavily in the business to kind of financially support me. I had an amazing group of friends, you know, you name it, family that were supportive, that had donated and, supported us. I started a little group, my friends started a little group called Andy's Army of Hope. You know, we had this amazing support system around us, which is awesome. So I could like really focus on my health while I was going through this.
That's amazing.
You know, and it's everything. And I mean, but fitness obviously was the big thing because, you know, I had this vision of who I needed to be. And that man was fit, number one. Mm-hmm. Right. And I learned in that process and many years later that so much comes from a man that's disciplined in the fitness arena, right? It's almost foundational. You know, I'm a big believer in, you know, service to self. Service in general, I think, is just the number one thing that men and leaders need to do in the world. And if you can't serve yourself first, then you're missing out. And I think so many men struggle with that concept because we're kind of popular culture, I think, kind of tells us all that if we're serving ourselves first, that we're selfish, right? And if we don't serve, but in reality, if we're not serving ourselves first, we can't serve our wife, right? We can't serve our children. We're not setting the standard for them. We, you know, we got 24 hours in a day. We can dedicate 45 minutes, 1 hour to us,
yep,
so that we can serve everybody else around us, right? So fitness for me really was just, it was really the foundation for me. And trust me, it was not easy from 2015 to 2020, you know, so much happened, you know, after cancer. Like, mm-hmm. It's funny. I've told this story a few times in the past 11 years, bits and pieces. Cancer was, you know, it was a complete blessing for me because it opened my eyes to the realities of life, the true hard realities that I needed to accept, swallow, you know, and a disciplined man, a disciplined person in life in general, it needs to start with fitness. Number one, you just simply, you cannot perform at your best. Your body biologically cannot function if you're not moving. Like,
yep,
we were created, or how, you know, whatever you believe, however we were evolved to be, right? If the body does not move, the mind, you know, if the body does not move, the mind will follow.
Yep.
And, you know, everything's connected. So,
and that's what that's perfect. Thing. And that's exactly, man, that is key, because when we are doing our own improvement of our own self and we see some changes, physical changes to our body, and we feel stronger, we're getting those opportunities, everything else is better. Like you said it perfectly when you're saying you have to serve yourself first and then to better serve others. Man, I'm home in the summer as a I teach during the summer, still during the summer, but after teaching's done and I'm home with my wife, my girls, they know when I do not get my workout in that day. They just know, because it feeds off of everything else that I do. And that's just so minor, right? But it's a part of me and a part of the routine that, man, if I get up at 5 a.m. or 4:45 and I start warming up and I am done with my whole workout by 7, dude, I am ready to make breakfast for everybody. I'm ready to, how can we have the best day as a family together? And it just continues to feed off of things, even for work, for no matter what, I just feel so much better. And that's where, like, at times when motivation disappears, right, and people don't stay consistent, that's so important. And man, that's where I got to ask you that, because you seem so disciplined. You're helping others get more disciplined and be consistent. How do you stay consistent when maybe motivation starts to disappear?
Oh boy. Well, I would say number one is severe body dysmorphia is the first thing, right?
Yeah. I'm with you. Real bad. Really, really bad.
No, but really, I mean, yeah, there's a little sprinkle of that, but I mean,
before you even answer that, how many people do you think suffer from that? Like males in particular?
Oh man. I don't know what's worse, men or women, because I mean, you know, I think we have preconceived notions of how we're supposed to look, right? I think it's like it's definitely an American culture thing. I'm not saying that this doesn't exist in other countries, but you know, the dude in the African bush don't give a crap if he's, you know, yeah. He ain't ever going to be 300 pounds, right? Right. He's just worrying about that next meal, right? Like for us, we have so many things that are provided for us. Everything's so convenient that it's almost like a mental, it's in a way, it's sort of like a mental, like, yeah. I don't want to say disease, but it's a mental condition where we kind of get bored maybe with,
yeah.
And then we start focusing on things like, are they really that important? Is it that trivial? Like, I don't know. It's an age thing, I think, too. I think you find so many guys that are younger and they want to look like the man, you know, and they want to look like Rambo and Schwarzenegger, like our idols when we were, you know, younger. Yeah. But then, like, as you age, you're just like, man, I just want to be able to touch my ankles and you know, like be able to beat my kid in the 100 meters.
Right.
You know, until I'm 65. Right. So.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird slippery slope because my wife, I'm pretty bad. I'm pretty open with it. I know I struggle with that. Like it could be, dude, I could talk to you tonight and I might have had a great workout and I feel good. I ate really well and like internally I feel good even. I don't have any, you know, stomach issues or anything along those lines. I don't feel bloated. And then I might be a little cocky to my wife, like, hey, look at me. I feel good. I look good type of ordeal. And literally the next night I could be like, holy shit, do you think I gained a couple pounds? And like, but it is so natural for me. And she just is like, shut up. Like, no, you're fine. And then I'm like, I know I am. I know I'm gaining weight. Like because I know I'm not pushing. There's just certain things. And it's just, man, I know I struggle with that really, really bad.
I mean, there could even be a little bit of just like the old fashioned instinct of survival in that, right? Like, you know, you're going to get fat. Fat people don't live past 50, right? You don't see many fat 60-year-olds. So maybe there's a little sprinkle of like, you know, not like there's fat people back in the caveman days, but like this, just, hey, it's like you said, survival of the fittest or kill or be killed.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. And honestly, with the training and working out, I feel like too, you could even share for what other, some of your clients have, how they've sharpened mentally, but man, what's your take on that as far as like the training goes, how it sharpens you mentally as well? Cause dude, I see some of your workouts and as from afar, someone could see that some of those kettlebell movements and things like that, and they're beaten before they even begin, before they even put that phone down and write down what you're doing. And trying it themselves. So mentally, man, how do you stay sharp with that, with your training?
Yeah, I think it goes back to kind of what you were just asking me before, the whole body dysmorphia thing I came out with. But what kind of keeps me mentally sharp beyond the physical training in itself is the fact of like, I'm always going to have this fear of something coming, you know, like, is cancer ever going to come back? You know, I have this secondary terminal disease now because of chemo.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to need a liver transplant at some point in my life. So if anything, I'm training for that. I need to be stronger for that. My body does for sure. But you know, otherwise though, as far as keeping sharp, it's everything, right? Like as we age, we got to stay sharp. That's just a big goal of mine is, you know, regardless of my age, you know, training is just a part of me now.
Yeah. You just go. I always think of it. I was talking to a friend of mine specifically about working out and training. And it's funny. I said, you know, last couple of years prior to last spring, I felt like I made every excuse to not push heavy and stay complacent and just be in this maintenance phase. Mm-hmm. And I just said, you know, obviously read your body. Like the other day I was kind of like a shoulder push day a little bit. And I, you know, from playing sports and everything like that, my shoulders weren't always the healthiest. So it's like, okay, I know I can't push a lot of weight, but in the program, I was like, okay, from here's where I was last time. Let's start with whatever. I think it was 40 where I work out. They have the halves, which I love just because a little bit, even that 2.5 pounds from whatever I love. I do a little warm up set. Shoulders feel warm. I'm wearing the hoodie. I'm like, okay, they're ready to go. I get that 47.5 to start pressing. I did like two sets or two reps. I go, yeah, that's not going up today. You know what I mean? It was just, I read my body that day and I just went, and I grabbed some kettlebells. I love doing bottom up presses and I worked my way up to some heavier weight with that. But it was just funny where I was supposed to start at that little bit of heavier weight. I just was like, no, it's not so much. But years ago, like I was just going back to how I got a little bit more mentally tough, I think, within the last year, specifically regarding training, was I'm like, you're going to be okay. You'll know when when you could injure yourself. You're smart enough. You've trained people. You've done this before. You'll be okay. Push yourself. And once I got over that little curve, over that hill, that's when I started seeing a lot more improvement this past year. And I have to get back there. I feel like I've gotten a little bit soft this fall. Like I'm still consistent, but not where I was. I always say that spring, summertime is my favorite just because I'm home more. And I love my home gym setup. But mentally, I once I got over that, it just helped me. And dude, in every facet, like not just training and feeling better mentally, but like you said, being prepared for something, if some, God forbid, something happens, being better mentally in a relationship with my wife, with my kids. So, man, it goes so, so deep that if you are listening and you work out a little bit or you're on the cusp of ready to work out, you want to change, I'm telling you, if anything, yes, you're going to see maybe a little bit of weight coming off. You're going to see some muscle being built, but the real gains are going to be up in your brain. And I think you could do some damage in a positive light with that. So yeah, dude, it's a killer thing to have. And so awesome to really focus on how you could get better physically, but mentally. And to me, they go hand in hand. So I feel like Warbuilt didn't just come from a business idea. I feel like it came from a life experience for you. So let's talk about that. What is Warbuilt? I want you to come from your mouth before I would even say anything about it. Let's talk about that. Let's transition to that.
Yeah. So, you know, you kind of covered one aspect of it earlier, as far as like what Warbuilt is. I mean, that, like the physical nature of Warbuilt is definitely super important. It's one of the foundational, you know, pillars to what we do here. But Warbuilt in its, you know, in a nutshell, I guess, is really what it is. It's a brotherhood. It's a group of men. It's a tribe. It's a network. It's a brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And of like-minded men that all want to level up in life. So how it was created essentially was, you know, I myself and my founders, Frank, Dan, and Brad, you know, Frank came to me one day. We were in an unnamed other group, let's just say, together. And Frank came to me one day and basically had said, you know, he kind of put me on my heels a little bit. He had said, you know, I think we need to take a step in a very uncomfortable direction. And at first I was just like, what are you talking about? And he's just like, I think we need to do this ourselves. I think we need to create something like this for ourselves. And I was just like, oh man, like that's a lot of work, right? You know, it's just another thing I got, like, really, like, do I need to do this? Do we need to do this? You know, kind of deal. And he goes, do you really feel like you're growing anymore? And I'm just thinking to myself, who the fuck are you to be telling me if I not, you know what? I think you might be right. You know, it was one of those kind of situations where, like I said, he put me on my heels a little bit and, you know, put me in a certain place. And I said, man, I respect this guy. He's a tank of a human being himself. And, you know, I said, I think I like where you're taking this. So let's talk. And from there it was, you know, it kind of, kind of went in a direction, and, you know, he had asked me, you know, who else can make us make this become a reality? And I said, you know, there's two guys I'm thinking of, and that's Dan and Brad. Let's chop it up and kind of go from there. So, so we essentially kind of took a lot of the, what we've learned in the brotherhood and the influence that we created in this old group and decided to go out on our own in a similar, but totally different direction, if that makes sense. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever been a part of any sort of men's group, either virtually, in person, church, or, you know, even like a sports team, you know, I'm sure, you're familiar with that for sure. You know, there's definitely something to that. And I think that's the other, you know, thing that we really are pressing and leaning hard into. And we believe it firmly is, you know, the idea of, you know, the power of the tribe, the quality of men that you and people that you surround yourself with will, you know, return, you know, into your life as well. Right.
Right.
Iron sharpens iron. And what we had envisioned for Warbelt was bringing in men that were of higher quality, higher standards, men that held themselves to these higher standards, men that wanted more out of life, men that were sick and tired of being normal or comfortable or complacent, you know, you name it. So Warbelt in its essence, yeah, it's definitely like a physically based thing. We focus a lot on physical, but we also focus on family. We focus on finance. We focus on fortitude, right? That mental toughness that comes, with, so many of the things that we do in the other realms and the other, pillars of this thing. So, and essentially what we're doing is we're creating that vision, right? Like a vision that I had of my cancer struggle, the man that I want to be in the future, right? The man that wants to walk, you know, Madison down the aisle when she gets married, you know, the man that wants to see Olivia and Logan graduate from school and go on and become, you know, young adults themselves, you know, my wife and I, you know, traveling the world, living on our homestead, doing all the things, you know, and then how do we achieve this long-term vision by looking at smaller 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, whatever visions and putting it all together and working on that every day. And then, you know, essentially what we have is like, we have this daily communication where the guys in your tribe or you're every day we're grinding, we're talking, we're sharing the struggles, we're sharing the wins, we're sharing the challenges, challenging one another. Mm-hmm. You know, if a guy fucks up, guess what? We're going to tell him he's fucking up because we know these guys so well, so intimately, because we communicate so often.
Yeah.
You know, I know what, you know, I know what Mike's vision is of that man and his future. And if he's not acting like that guy, well, then I'm going to get on his ass about it. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's skipping a workout or complaining about his wife or whatever, you know, like that's not how we operate. Right. That's not the man in your vision. So, I think I might answer that question.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I like that though. It goes beyond the physical world. Oh, yeah. Right. And that's the key. I think there's a lot of, you know, we touched upon how our 20s were just a disaster tornado and you're trying to figure things out and improve upon that in your 30s. You're in your young 40s. I'm in my late 30s now. And I still laugh. I still say, man, I'm still just a kid trying to figure where I want to be in life. And there's good and bad to that, right? Like depending on, I guess, how you want to look at it or whatever. But the fact that a lot of people just need that assistance, like you said, and somebody needs that accountability and they don't need that yes man or yes woman telling them, you know, everything's great when maybe it's not, right? Like you said, right. You need somebody to hold you accountable,
right?
Because that's tough, right? I mean,
well, and you know, and nothing against, you know, your circle of friends at home or even your wife or other people in your family, like those relationships are different, right? Like a lot of times they're just telling you, it's all right, honey. Like everything's going to be fine. You're good enough.
Right.
Right. And that's not necessarily true. That's like, that's consoling, that's soothing, but you know, we don't grow that way, right? We don't become the best version of ourselves that way. If we're just staying the same, like we need to grow and we need to push ourselves. And this is how men, tribes, communities have operated for thousands of years.
Right.
Right. There needs to be competition. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be community. We need to work together. We need to support one another. And what's happened, you know, unfortunately, and especially in our country within the past few years, and it's been happening for a long time, is we've been become more and more isolated. You know, you see more fences being put up in neighborhoods. Like you don't even know your neighbors.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of that. You know, and that's just, it's so against human nature in general to isolate and retract when we are at our best, when we are around other people, especially other people of high value that, yeah, that want, that are positive and that will support you in leveling up in life.
Yeah. I love that little term, that leveling up in life. I mean, just in little things, that could, you know, be life-changing for some. And I think that's phenomenal. You know, like with that, do you guys touch upon like the mindset type of information? Obviously we were talking, yeah, about like the financial thing. You know, we had a guest a couple weeks ago talk about growth mindset compared to being that fixed mindset. And I'm sure for some hearing that maybe could be the first time when they join or partake in these conversations of War Built. But I guess talk a little bit about like that side of things, about how important like having that mind, like a good positive mindset or growth mindset or whatever you guys, yeah, call it, how that could help people.
Yeah. So I should probably backtrack a little bit. So we have a little bit of a selection process to even get into War Built.
Okay.
So ideally the ideal man for War Built is not like kind of a new guy to this, the concepts of, you know, goal setting and vision casting and things like, mm-hmm, that. We would like to see that man, I guess in general, has built some sort of discipline into his life.
Right.
We have a physical standards test. So to even, you know, you go through an interview process to get in. and then once you're in, you essentially need to perform a set of, I think it's 12 movements, and you're kind of graded in levels about where that is. That's just one aspect. And, you know, hey, we don't expect guys to be like, you know, Miles Garrett athletes, you know, like he's, you know, pro, like, or as, and not to toot my own horn, or not like slinging around being like great. Like, hey, like, no, we don't expect that. Like if we have a veteran that's like, was, you know, cut in half in Iraq and he's got two bad, you know, hip replacements or something, we don't expect him to be deadlifting 500 pounds, right?
Right.
He can add so much value in other ways. So like, don't get me wrong. And I don't want to sound like this is some hoity toity group either, because that's not what we are. We're, if anything, we're very relatable guys. But we want to see that you have instilled some sort of discipline into your life, number one, to get in, which is super important, because that tells us already that mentally you've ingrained that discipline, mm-hmm, and that takes a certain amount of mental toughness,
right?
Fortitude, the focus of fortitude really is just, I think, an example of what comes from doing the hard things, right? For some people, it's life experiences. For other people, it's just like doing hard stuff.
Right.
And that could be a whole array of things, like self-chosen or luck of the draw, or all kinds of things. But when we have a focus of fortitude and trying to become more mentally capable, resilient in life, you know, an example of that might be like, you know, hey, if, like what's gonna like for me, I'll tell you what I'm working on next quarter. For me, next quarter, I'm actually going to be writing my cancer story.
Okay.
So I want to create a book about my cancer story. And for me, that's going to stretch me mentally because A, I'm not an author, and B, I've got to kind of relive this, this trauma that I went through. So for me, it's going to be, you know, kind of therapeutic in ways, kind of
right.
mentally difficult in ways, but also it's going to stretch me and my skill set with becoming a writer, and not trying to use ChatGPT too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Right. But I, you think about though, like you're going to be doing things in smaller increments, right? So you're going to get better. And if you write 10 minutes per day, even, man, after a week, if you do that, you have 70 minutes written, and then you just 100%. Keep building upon that. Yeah. And you're like you just said, you're pushing yourself to new heights, and you're leveling up. And in a way that, you know, right now you're at one level two or level three, whatever it be. And by the end, you might be at level 10. And right. staying consistent, having people hold you accountable to go along with yourself, that's unique.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And it works. It works. You know, when I started doing this, and working with other men in a very similar stage back in 2021, like up until that point, it was, my life was just, it was just crazy, man. Like business grew like wild, like through COVID, like, you know, everybody in COVID was spending their money at home. So my landscape business became like install, design, hardscape. We were doing crazy projects. People were just throwing money at us. Like I was a, you know, whatever, like, you know what I'm getting at. I want to say I'm a family man. And you know, we had our boy in 2018. So like, you know, two young kids and at that time, Madison was pretty much like about out of high school. So she was about to move on to her next, and you name it, like just, it was crazy. And I could just never focus on the things that I always needed to do. And I didn't have that outlet. And I didn't have that outlet either because I was so stressed out from this business that grew so fast. I had all these employees, just so much going on. And you know, once I finally found a system and I had the tools to look at it in a much, you know, smaller, like you said, you know, instead of eating the whole elephant, you know, taking the little bite type of concept there, that was when it just became life-changing. And to add on to that was, you know, that the other end of this was, you have a place now to go and dump your stress on other men instead of coming home and hammering your wife or your kids with this build up tension and aggression, right?
Right.
Like we all do.
Yep.
Because it's very difficult for men to talk about their emotions or release their emotions, right? We're told to suck it up and deal with it. But sometimes, you know, we come home and we can't, you know, and it just comes out in a bad way. But taking off that armor in front of other men, powerful men that have been there and are doing it also is powerful. And then those men aren't just going to be like, oh, it's okay, Andy. They're going to be like, so what are you going to do now?
Yeah. How are you going
to fix it? What's your plan? What's your plan? So you have that, you have manageable ways to track your goals. And then it's just like, you know, other dudes doing badass stuff. Right. And they're accomplishing things. You see other men win and you want to win. You want to get on that level. You're leveling up. Right. And it's just I tell you, man, it works and it's a beautiful thing. And it's, you know, I'm, you know, the men in Warbelt obviously are high quality dudes. They're killing it. They've, you know, guys are starting businesses. You name it. Everybody's in their own unique part in life. And it's just, for me now, it's just so inspiring. You know, it keeps me motivated. It's not motivated at all. I'm here because it's inspiring to me to see the growth in these men and how tenacious they are and how badly they want it, because it keeps me sharp also. You know, it reminds me that I need to stay sharp, you know, for my family, for my business, and, you know, for the people around me. It's just so important. So it's that energy, yep. You know, energy, it just translates. And hey, you know, we mostly meet virtually weekly and communicate virtually, but that energy, it travels, man. It goes right through, and it's a powerful thing.
I feel like too, and we'll be able to come back to maybe some points about war build. I wanted to build that foundation, build that house, basically and to go along with all that, man, like now we're talking family, we're talking fatherhood, we're talking leadership at home. And, you know, that's really a unique aspect because, you know, for you, you came in with your wife where she was 11, like you said, and then you had two of your own, a little boy and a little girl, a little boy, in that order. You know, how has fatherhood changed your definition of like who you are? Like where did you change? Like, you know, I always joke with my buddies and I'm like, man, my wife now is not the woman I married, right? After she had a kid. Whereas for your example, she already was that, like, you had a unique, you know, in your situation, she was who she was because she had her daughter prior and everything along those. Yeah. You know, so, you know, I always joke about that. So like, how did that change you having Madison and then everybody else that came into your life?
Oh man, it was just a huge blessing. I mean, obviously, like Olivia, my 10-year-old, my little lucky charm, she was our little baby. She was our, you know, her middle name's Hope, you know, and that was a reflection of our battle with cancer. And, I couldn't wait to see her, you know, like, cause everything I was doing and fighting for, you know, was for her, you know? And, the day she came, it was just amazing seeing her there. And like, so part of what I was visualizing obviously is now in front of you, like this tiny little screaming bald baby. That's so beautiful. Right. But at the same time, you know, I'm literally going through chemo and stuff. And it's just like, man, like, how can I stay on track? How can I stay motivated? Look at this like precious little thing I've been gifted. Right. It's like, if I didn't have that, my gosh, you know, like, where would I be? Yeah. You know, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, essentially we were told, like, we weren't thinking about having another kid because we just were told, you know, and I was misdiagnosed at first. Like,
okay.
Like, they couldn't stage it until I got opened up essentially and they went in there and did their thing. But I did at some point do an extra test. My whole body was lit up. And that oncologist had basically told me without doing a biopsy that I was stage 4 and that I had like 2.5 years to live. And this was like mid to late August. So like essentially a couple of weeks after I was told I had cancer, you know, I was like, oh, well, you know, let's rip this thing out and see what's going on. Well, then it was like, no, you're going to be dead in 2.5 years if I'm lucky. So that was like obviously the most traumatic part to this whole story. And, the hardest obviously part to deal with, but thankfully that was only about a few days that I had to deal with that. And those were like the most important days of this too, because that did break me like completely. Mm-hmm. But when I woke from that, essentially I was a new man. Like there was no going back after that. So, but you know, just kind of fast forward a little bit. Sorry, I got a little bit off track there. You know, we didn't have plans to have another kid because we didn't know if I was going to be alive. Right. So my oncologist was like, well, you want to freeze some sperm? You can freeze some sperm. And we're just like, we just want to live. I just want to beat this thing. Let's worry about kids down the line. So 2018 comes along and voila, we're having another baby. So, you know, thank the Lord. And completely different situation this time, right? Like I'm past cancer. So this is like, whew, this is different and this is cool. And dear God, give me a boy, you know, like, cause I need a boy, you know, like I need my little hunting buddy, my fishing partner. And And I needed a mustard to carry on the lineage, right? I needed that mustard name to carry on. So it was down to the wire, literally, you know. I was 38, you know. I still remember when we got the news that he had, you know, some twigging berries. Man, I was in tears. I mean, it was a miracle in itself, but then again, you know, seeing that little nutsack on that picture, yeah, really that put me in some tears, I'll tell you what.
I gotta ask you, dude, just because my wife busts my chops is saying I have about 30 tabs open, and she knows in my head, and she knows when I have that, I'm doing different things. I don't settle. I'm constantly striving to be better. I'm constantly wanting more. And yeah, I've always been that way, always. And she knows when, again, she'll be like, how many tabs you got open in your brain? You're probably thinking about target archery, your family, how can you make more money, hunting, your buddy Jim, your health, me, everything. And I'm like, yep, yes, yes, yes. And you have a lot going on, man. How do you manage or balance? How do you balance your ambition with being present within your household?
Oh, man, boy, that's a good one. What I really like is the open tab concept. Man, that is genius. Your wife is, I gotta give her some kudos for that one.
Yeah.
Boy, I've never heard that. I like it.
Cause I feel like for myself, I'll kind of go back to the whole fitness thing. Like when, again, if I'm working out and I'm training and I'm on a routine, man, I'm a lot better.
Oh yeah.
And, I feel like right now we're in a good spot. You know, here we are recording. I told you my hope with this new platform, revamp, basically. The baby's getting older. Nora's getting older. There's certain things that I could quote unquote, I don't want to say get away, but I could get away with things, right? Mm-hmm. It's not so where I need to be 100% present 100% of the time. I could be 100% present, but maybe 95% of the time, right? Like, basically, if that makes sense. But what I'm getting at too with this is, because, dude, we're not perfect, and you said that from the very beginning, we will have our moments. But when you know you're doing good, when you could pat yourself on the back like, I did good today, because not only did I handle my business, my situation, but everybody else was taken care of, what kind of concoction do you think gets stirred up in that pot? Like, what goes well when those days end? Why did it go well?
Yeah. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. And sometimes it's just what thoughts were kind of stirring in my head as you were explaining, you know, kind of describing all that, is there's some things that are just so extremely simple that help you out in so many different ways. And I think if we just simplify our life as best as we can, then, you know, like I'm a big list guy, right? Like, I'll, it's part of my daily ritual. You know, my routine in the morning is making that list. You know, I'm not getting on my phone. I'm usually no phone for the first hour, so I can just not be flooded with all this distraction, right? I get up early. I'm looking at my, you know, I'm reading, I'm doing some journaling, making my list. And I know I'm never going to cross out all those things on that list, right? Mm-hmm. But I also know at the end of the day that I'm not going to get down on myself if I don't cross all those things off. Now, I'm going to prioritize that list, right? There's definitely things I need to do in my day, that day, that particular day that I need to do. But sometimes, you know, like you said, I think there's just so many important things you got to maintain and take care of. You know, fitness, you got to eat well, you got to drink. You got to drink the water. You got to do the things, right? You got, you know, to feel not only good about yourself, but like you were explaining, you know, how you like to get that workout done in the morning. Well, you just started your day with a win, right? Like, I'm an afternoon workout guy. Mostly, sometimes I do mornings. It's just, I feel like I have higher energy then. Mm-hmm. So that's when I hit it. But like, my win to start the day is getting that damn device down, focusing on what I need to do that day, and then going, you know. And then I think success for me is laying my head down at night and just being so damn exhausted that I just fall right to sleep. Yeah. Right. I don't have to do an AAR. I don't have to do none of this, you know, I don't have to journal or read at night because I'm going to be drooling and passing out to begin with. But, you know, the way I operate, I go and, you know, I try to be as intentional as I can and obviously goal driven and prioritize things and make sure everybody's kind of all set up and this and that. But I'll tell you, man, it's, you know, there's no secret. There's no secret sauce to this. There's no cheat code. There's no, you know, easy. There's nothing easy about it, you know. And life gets more and more complicated. And that's not always a bad thing, you know. Like, that's, things happen in life and new opportunities and new challenges happen every day. And you got to just keep a positive mindset on even the negative things that enter your life because they're being presented to you for a reason. Right, you're being challenged.
Things and just need challenges to get done.
They're ultimately their growth opportunities.
Yep.
You know, and we can't fall victim to thinking that, oh, woe is me, I don't deserve this. Well, guess what? Life don't care.
Yeah, I feel like too. Like things just need to get done. So my oldest, she'll be 12 in March. The youngest will be 2 here in a couple of weeks. Like, that wasn't planned. That was hey, look at this 10 years later type of ordeal. Yeah, right. And my wife and I both agree just how much of a different parent I am personally with when she was a baby. I mean, you got to figure I was only 27, 28. You know, we were married when I was 25, I think. Yeah, 25, 26. Yeah. So very young. Yeah, like I look at my younger sister now and I'm like, you know, she, and I love her boyfriend who she's settled down with at this point in time. But I just remember like a couple of years ago and I'm thinking, my gosh, I was engaged. I'm ready to get married. And like, I'd be like slapping her, you know what I mean? Like you have so much to life, but anyway. And I remember just probably being useless at times, like the middle of the night type stuff. And just dumb things that I look back now and I'm like, man, I get that redo. I get a chance to be better and do that. And I just remember there were times with the baby and I would take her downstairs and I'd bounce on a ball with her because that was the one thing that would calm her down. I'd let my wife sleep a little bit longer. And I just remember in my head just saying, this is just, it just needs to get done. And it's okay. Like everybody's good now. My wife got extra time to sleep. You know, it's just, man, there's laundry that needs to get, and I'm talking so simple things. It just needs to get done. Just do it. And guess what? Right. When it gets done and it's taken care of, you're like, all right, here, cool. Now let's go do this. Now I might have an extra minute or two to do something with Nora, my oldest, or I might have extra time to myself to do something archery related, workout related, whatever it be. You know, and I think that's a good thing of, you know, what you said, there's no really good answer, right? Yeah. I think when you look at that concoction that we were talking about, stirring in the pot of at the end of the day, when everybody's all good and happy. And I liked what you said, there's no clear cut answer. It's just a matter of handling things, taking care of and making sure everybody's all right under that roof and going from there. Right. Like, and then looking at yourself, I've always, my brother-in-law, when my sister and him were dating, they weren't married yet. I was still in high school. And again, I was a confused, angry kid living with my grandparents. And I remember him saying to me, if you could look in the mirror at night before you go to bed and you're okay with that reflection, you won, right?
Ooh, like, that's a good one.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
But when you don't like that reflection, not because of, again, our body dysmorphia, it's more of what you know, what you're, that type of reflection. And there were times where I'm like, damn, I don't like that. I got to fix this. And that's when good things came about. And I strive to be better. You know, so like zooming out, Andy, the big picture here, and you were talking about, you know, your next quarter, you're writing your book, right? When you zoom out, and you could even talk about maybe from the past quarters or the future quarters, what it could be or what it would look like for you now moving forward. When you zoom out and look at that big picture, what does success mean to you during that quarter?
Well, boy,
Like let's use that book for the example, like how you're going to write that, right? Like how when you zoom out the big picture coming up here in the future, and I'm not sure how what you're breaking your quarters down into, but like what's your when you zoom out, you're like, okay, that was a good success for that quarter for me.
Yeah, I mean we kind of have a, I mean as far as our whole system of like tracking and whatnot, we definitely have like an end of quarter like review of what we did and did we achieve them. We have like a 30, 60, and 90 day checkpoints essentially on like, hey, are we hitting the markers here? Because if we're not, then hey, we might have to pivot. We might have to switch things up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But broadly speaking, I think like, you know, specifically like I would say for, you know, what's going to be the result of getting this book out for me, it's number one, you know, God, you know, essentially has chosen me to be a representative of somebody that can overcome something like cancer. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, and I've had, you know, my wife, my mom, my dad, my whole family and multiple friends and colleagues, brothers, what have you, just have, you know, pushed me into writing this book. You know, I did a few other podcasts prior to this in the last few years, and getting this story out, that story out was something that really opened people's eyes up to my story, right? And the more people I could touch with that, the better. So the book essentially would be just that, because there's thousands, unfortunately, if not millions, going through this. Maybe not specifically, but like cancer in general. I mean, hey, it's an epidemic here in America.
Right.
And I didn't go about it conventionally. Like I went about it very unconventionally. You know, yeah, I did chemo, but I didn't want to do chemo. Like I was doing all kinds of other stuff. And so it's important that, and plus my misdiagnosis, you know, like, you shouldn't just go with one opinion. You know, you might not get one opinion on your car. Why would you get it on your body, your life? So essentially that is going to be an outlet, you know, for others to read, to relate to, a guide for them to be like, oh crap, I can do this. Because, you know, every time somebody reads about my story or reaches out to me, and I can't tell you how many messages that I have received throughout the years, like, whether it was just locally from somebody like being like, hey, I'm in the gym now because of you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? Like, yeah, like we're the same age and you got cancer. I don't want to get cancer. So I'm in here. I need to lose 15 pounds. So that's why I'm here. Yep. Or like some random person on the internet just being like, dude, my aunt's going through this. Can you give me some tips? Like, what did you do? Like, absolutely. I got a whole protocol, right? I got a whole list of things that I do and that I did that I'll share. I'll talk to them. You know what I mean? Like this is not random, you know? And I truly felt that, you know, God chooses people to, you know, to reflect that and to be here as guides and messengers for those who are going through it. There needs to be an example. And for me, I needed to see examples also when I was in that position. I needed to know there were other people out there surviving and thriving and doing it. And I did find those people. If those people wouldn't have put themselves out there, guess what? It would have been a little scarier for me. That picture might not have been as clear. You know, I'm such a visual guy. Men in general are very visual. We need to see living proof of, hey, people are beating it and I can do this. And if this book can be a catalyst for somebody, that's huge. That's huge to me. So, that's awesome. Yeah, man. That has essentially kind of led to this passion-based, you know, career changes for me, like with the physical fitness to now War Built to now, you know, writing my book. It's like, hey, don't get me wrong. It's cool to do a 1,000-square-foot patio and create a outdoor experience for a family. You know, and for them to enjoy the outdoors and to share memories like for their lifetime. And it's, you know, it's hard work and it's good, honest work, but man, if I can help somebody beat cancer and live their best life or crush their goals or lose 50 pounds, man, it just has so much more meaning. Yeah. Now, if I can save somebody's life, you know, that's legacy right there. You know, that's life changing because that has a ripple effect.
Yep.
You know, my kids got to see me, you know, grind through this and get through this. And they see their dad doing what he does. And that's super powerful because that's going to hopefully work in their favor down the line.
Yeah.
You know, and if that can be multiplied to other families, you know, and other generations. And I mean, that's legacy work. And I think that's ultimately kind of what we like to do in war building in general is we're building a legacy for our family and we're building those habits, not only for ourselves, but for our kids to carry that on to their kids and their kids and their kids.
Yeah, dude. Well said, man. That's a good mic drop right there. Little quick antler up, rapid fire question to you. Right now, kicking off the new year, basically advice for someone trying to build strength mentally or physically this year. What advice do you give that person? Just they come to you, man. I want to get better. What's something quick you'll say to them?
Yeah. What's your goals? What do you mean by that? Mm-hmm. You know, like I need, you know, what's that final version of you look like? Or not that final version of you. What's that next level person look like to you? Does he need to lose 15 pounds? Does he need to gain 15 pounds? You know, does he want to look better naked in bed?
Right. Yeah.
For his wife. Yeah. Preferably.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, so yeah, it's all about the goal, right? You know, like, hey, what, how do you envision yourself?
Yeah.
You know, and because I can't help you achieve that unless I understand what direction you want to go.
Yep. What about best way to reset when life feels heavy?
Boy, gratitude. Gratitude, always. I find that, as you said, somebody's always got it worse. Yep. So, a cup, you know, is your cup half full? Is it cap, you know, or is it half empty? You got to be appreciative of what you have and how far you've come. And I think that's actually a fantastic practice to do every day.
Yeah. Big one. Last one, a book or a quote that means a lot to you.
I do like Man in the Arena by Theodore Roosevelt. It's too long to go over. I have it here on my wall here in my office.
Yep.
That's a good one. As far as a book goes, man, there's so many. I'm just going to throw two out at you because they're fascinating to me. And I love the way that Michael Easter wrote The Comfort Crisis. Mm-hmm. He writes the book about, you know, the epidemic of how we're so comfortable now, right? We've forgotten how we are supposed to be as humans. Mm-hmm. But he also writes the book of the same tone where he kind of travels the world and he does these different cultures to kind of highlight that and what they do to keep, you know, human. But he's also on his first like hunting trip, like with Donnie the Man.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
They're up in Donnie Alaska, Vincent. Like, yes. Yeah. And it is such a cool kind of jumping. I forget the literary style that it is. There's this literary style of that. And I kind of want to steal from that to write my book because it's really cool how it jumps around. The other book that really like pops out at me, it's pretty amazing, is The Power of One More by Ed Milet. Fantastic book. Super, super inspiring. Ed Milet's just he's the man, you know, he's just one of those dudes. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Well, Andy, where could people check you out for personal training? I know you're a local guy in the state of Pennsylvania, so you could talk about that and drop that information. Obviously, War Built. So where can people find you regarding that and look you up and maybe work with you?
Yeah. So War Built, warbuilt.com is where we're located. We have a Instagram page right now. That's probably going to give you a little bit of a glimpse into some of the stuff we do right now. It's very heavily on the physical side because we're, you know, we're kind of brand new, and we had this really awesome event in September where we got all this fantastic, you know, documentary footage and whatnot. But yeah, so check out Instagram, Warbelt Syndicate, the website www.warbelt.com. As far as the personal training and whatnot goes, I have another Instagram page. It is Anchor Up Fitness, Anchor Up Wellness, sorry. You can check that out on Instagram. My handle on Instagram is warbuiltandy_Andy. I have just, as you know, I have a ton of workout videos on there. And like, you can reach me really at all three of those, because I pretty much own and operate those three as well. So yeah.
Pretty awesome, man. Dude, I can't thank you enough for kicking off the tone of not only the podcast, but the month of January. And dude, what a powerful story. You almost had me in tears. The eyes were getting a little wet earlier on.
You ain't the only one, man. That was tugging at me a little bit too. And it's still a heart, you know, a heart tugger. That's for sure.
Dude, so I thank you so much for coming on, telling your story, and you know, what you're a tough individual, and it speaks for itself. And dude, I can't thank you enough for helping set the tone for this. Please, 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 that, like, I've been following Andy on Instagram, on his personal page. Obviously the other two just getting going as far as the war built and stuff. And I've been following him for a couple of years, and I just found him interesting just because he was looked like a badass doing some awesome workouts. And then he would post stories about a little bit of information of things he's gone through. And you're just like, what? That guy had cancer, and he's, look at him, and he's doing this type of stuff and crushing it. And then he's sharing cool things he's doing with his family. For someone like myself, you just see that and you're like, okay, let's do this. Let's be better humans. Let's be better people. And how can we just get better? Like, that's a motivation. So if you are someone that is looking for that motivation, look no further than Andy. So please check him out. And I can't thank you enough for listening, for giving me and Andy an hour and a half of your time, whatever it ends up being. So thank you so much. Have a great new year. Crush it. Stay consistent. And because if you start feeling like you're veering off, maybe go back to this one and tune back in and get fired up. So thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. Andy, thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Or actually, let me backtrack. I'll see you in 2 weeks, because remember, we're every other week. I got to get used to saying that now.
That's right. You got to prioritize you, buddy.
Yeah, man. That's right. Thanks again, everybody, so much. Antler up.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler Up.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
Ready to relax in your dream bath retreat without the stress of figuring out every detail yourself? At the Home Depot, your bath upgrade is covered. Shop fully designed rooms and curated bath collections to go from inspiration to transformation fast. Savings of up to 40% will make it easier on your budget. And find everything you need, from tubs to toilets and all the tile in between, to bring your vision to life. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.